Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headline, front page, and rap, the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Sugar Brothers, life with a knife. That's cause he died a trifling death when he left his very last breath. Was I slept, so watch your step. Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gangbang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man. Cause that's
self-destruction.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was all right. Self-destruction. Hallelujah. Welcome to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother Ariel here with Iblis Culture. Coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland. Bet Yahweh congregation here. All are welcome. The doors are open to all. All are welcome. We're beginning with our last installment of the beast system and how it has affected the Israel, most importantly, but also the whole world, but how it's affected Israel, the beast system. But before I get into that, let me open up with a prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Todah once again, Abiyah, for bringing us to the Shabbat and opening up the Shabbat door for us, Father. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for allowing us to get here, Father, for those who have made it, Father. Some have not made it, Father. Some have not made it. We want to thank you first and foremost for allowing us to make it to see another Shabbat, Father. Thank you. Father, we want to ask and pray for all of Kohanim, Father, that those who are going through any ailments, Father, any physical ailments, any spiritual ailments, Father, or any mental ailments, Father, that you uplift them, Father, that you keep them, Father. Any of the Emas, Father, any of the Akotis, Father, the mothers, the sisters, Father, that you uplift them. Any of the Zakins, the elders, Father, that you uplift them. Any of the Yaladi, the children, Father. Anybody under the umbrella of Yisrael, Father, that you bless them, keep them from out of the way, Father. Keep them from going to the left or to the right, Father. May they stay on that straight and narrow, Father. And when they go to the left and the right, Father, that mercy and love bring them back, Father. Your mercy and your love, that you go get that one and leave them behind the back, like Yahushua said, Father. We ask and pray that your word come forth tonight, Father. And we thank you for this time, Father, just to be able to sit down and relax our nerves, Father, and just sup with you, Father. We ask you that you come through with a mighty voice, Father, a mighty voice. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage of remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Israel. I'm moving as I'm talking. Briefly, I won't cut off. And if I do cut off, somebody give me a call. I'm just relocating, trying to get better services right now from where I'm at. Because we know, we give House of Tanner a foothold. He's coming through. He's trying to shut things down. We know this is the last installment. So bear with me as I move and try to get into a better place. And the lines won't cut off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They've got where I'm normally at on the Shabbat. And hopefully everything will settle down and we can continue. But we want to go through what we've been talking about for these last six Shabbats about just to catch the people up on what the Most High has been bringing out about the beast system. Ooh, I'm out of shape, man. It's running up them steps. It got me a little bit winded. Got to get myself back in shape. Excuse me. Give me a second. I'm getting there. I'm coming together. I'm getting there. And we learned some things about social engineering. That was one of the things that we learned about it, social engineering. And I just wanted to read that definition to the family, if I can pull that up. Social engineering. So we can remember what we're dealing with. And it's a noun. The use of central, and I love the definition. I love how they explain what social engineering is. You know, because we talked about the beast system again. And we summed it up last week that the beast system is everything outside of Yahweh. Everything outside of Yahweh. But I love how this definition, it puts it where we can really hear it and understand it. The use of a centralized planning, you know, a centralized planning, something that's centered, something that's planned towards in an attempt to manage social change and regulate the future development and behavior of a society, to regulate change, social change, the future development and behavior of a people. So this social engineering is going to have people or show people how to act, show people on or what to respond to, what not to respond to, how to feel, and how you shouldn't feel. And my rabbi started talking about it last week, and I've been thinking about it this week. When he did Ross Kadesh's New Moon service a couple of days ago, and he was talking about this thing, and like he said, in no way we taking away from what people feeling right now. But you got to ask the question. And if you like me, you're feeling like, hold up, this thing is like a cloud that's covering the whole United States. The whole United States, you feel this cloud. Any and everybody you talk to, talking about Kobe Bryant. Every news media, every magazine, people who, not even sports magazine, is airing Kobe Bryant, talking about Kobe Bryant. I mean, it's so much that they are putting in the people's mind, and they're not even allowing the family to grieve, because every time you turn around, there is something about Kobe Bryant. You know, even myself, as Brother Yaki L said it, and even my son, I talked to him about it, but I felt sad. I had to catch myself Monday. Like, why are you feeling so down? What's going on with you? Why do you feel like this? Why is this cloud is feeling like it's over top me? What's going on? So I had to sit there and go through my mind, scan my feelings, and see why I'm feeling like this. And I had to get to the root of, oh, this Kobe Bryant thing. And it's like a cloud that's over top of not just the United States, but the world. The world is talking about Kobe Bryant. It's been so big that it had superseded the biggest entertainment thing on the world right now, the biggest entertainment, sports entertainment, that is the Super Bowl. They're not even talking. The Super Bowl is not even getting as much plug that it would get because of the Kobe Bryant thing. It has overshadowed the Super Bowl. That's how much they are pushing it down our throat. And we definitely not saying that you shouldn't moan, you shouldn't grieve over this. But the question is, it's entertainment. And, you know, that's a part of the social engineering, the way you get up people to feel it. And Abba was showing me that. He was bringing that to me. Then if you have a relationship with the Most High, he's going to take you on a journey. And where he took me at is, where did the children of Israel, or their culture was, we hear culture. We had no entertainment in Israel. When you go back, you can't read in the scriptures where Israel had entertainment. They had no sports. They had no games. They had nothing. And he just had me to go on this mental or this spiritual journey and think through the scriptures, because I couldn't come up with none where there was games. Besides when we get into the book of Maccabees, when this other nation brought in games to Israel. There was no acting in Israel. There was no little marbles, even rocks playing. You read about none of that in the scripture when it comes to Israel. So you take this group of people, what we talked about last week, how Yahweh blessed them. He pulled them to himself. He gave them a name. He gave them his name. He set them people apart. He gave them his ways. And when you go back and you look at the scope of things, and you try to use that Ruach, you try to use your mind and go back and just try, you can't come up with no games in Israel. You can't come up with no plays. You can't come up with none of this, what we call today, entertainment. Yes, we sing. We always sing as a people. We sing because the Most High likes singing, and he gave that to Israel. But we're going to find out how Satan even he music, but we're going to get to that when I'm up in the head of myself. But when you go back to Israel and you try to figure out their daily life, figure we here in this in 2020, we can't think of life without sports. We can't think of life without entertainment. We cannot begin to imagine today's life without entertainment. So what was Israel daily doing? And these are not questions just for me to ask. That's for everybody. Just think about how set apart they were and what was their daily life schedule looking like. There was no woman get home and watch the tennis match. Or, you know, I'm going to watch hockey. Or we're going out here, we're going to play some stickball with my son. We're going to wake my son up early in the morning. No, wake my son up. We're going to go milk these cows. We're going to go do this herd. We're going to go try to, if we have to, shear or trim the sheets. We're going to be doing that. And then we're going to be studying. Our life is going to be working and studying the scriptures or studying the ways of Yahweh. That was the daily life of an Israelite. That was the daily life. When they talked, they didn't just talk about today's sports. They weren't talking about today's sports. Or did you see Power last night? They weren't talking about that. You know, because what came to mind is the virtuous sister. You know, she made things. This sister going out making things. She going out. And what did it say about her husband? Her husband sat in the gate with the other elders, and they communing, they talking. But they wasn't talking about power. They wasn't talking about empire. It wasn't none of that talked about. Oh, man, did you hear about Kobe Bryant passed away? No, it wasn't none of that. And this is where Abba was thinking, like, wow. Wow. And that's how you understand, and when your mind starts moving, that Abba didn't want them to look at these other nations. He didn't want them to learn from these other nations. So when you come to think about all these other nations and the things that they was doing, it may have been exciting to Israel to see what these other nations doing, especially when these Greeks and these Romans came through. They in there having games, things that Israelites didn't do. Then they got so wicked, these brothers in there wrestling butt naked. That's what they was doing when you go back into the account of the Maccabees. It was no entertainment in Israel. It was Yah and Yah and Yah only that I know of. Now, if somebody else can come and show me where we had entertainment and Israel did some things that, no. Nowhere near from what we can see today, what entertainment is. And what Abba was showing me, that's a part of this social engineering. That's a part of the getting, because why is it that so many people are heartbroken? As if they had a personal relationship with Kobe Bryant. Why is that? I'm not going to speak for myself. Why was I feeling so down? What is this thing that got people so, especially over the stars, into these personal relationships with them, and they have no clue of who you are. No clue. We get on a first name basis with them, and we talk about them as if we know them. And we have no clue on who they are truly as a person. We don't know what they into behind closed doors. But we give our hearts, our souls to these people. And the question is, why? What is it? What is it that draws us to them? You know, when you start asking these questions, he takes you all through the scripture. So, because he don't want you to get to somewhere, though, well, somebody can pull up this. Well, see, Israel did this. Israel would have did this. And the thought that he brought it up to my mind was, well, why did the angel had to take Moshe's body? Because Israel would have worshipped him. Israel would have went and made him a worship. But that's not saying that Israel is perfect, because we know Israel is not perfect. Because Yahweh knows man's heart. But then that's another thing that we have to come to understand. People are human. But the thing is, why must we worship something? Why must we give honor to something that we think is greater than us? And not give that honor to the Most High. What is it? We're going to get to that. We know behind the scenes, we already talked about, behind the scenes, there is a social engineering. There is a centralized planning and attempt to manage social change and regulate the future development and behavior of society. You know, that thing headed for self-destruction. You talking about America, but this is the whole world. This ain't just America that's headed for self-destruction. All of us is headed for destruction, period. Because Abba coming back. Mankind is headed for destruction. It ain't just self-destruction. It's destruction, period. Because we are being engineered socially to go away from the Most High. We're not being engineered to go towards the Most High. We're being engineered to go away from the Most High, to put things in front of the Most High. And sometimes we ourselves don't even know it until the Most High comes and give us a knock on the head or a reminder, I'm still on the throne. I'm still here. I'm still here. But to try to sit and talk to somebody about this, they have no relationship with the Most High. They look at you like you're crazy. Boy, that's Kobe Bryant. You know, I was there when Kobe gave me 81 points. I watched every Kobe game. I had every Kobe shoe. I know everything about Kobe. When he was born, I know the man. I know when he died, when he won his first championship, when he won his last championship. Because Kobe is an icon. I'm never sending him for idol. We, as human beings, we idolize these things. Another social engineering to take us away from the Most High. We idolize these things and don't even know we idolize these things. It becomes numb to us. It becomes everyday routine. An everyday routine. And I'm not going to stay on that because, but that was a thought that the Most High gave me that was in line of what we've been talking about. And we've talked about this engineering thing, the social engineering thing. How has Satan, how have the beast system affected Israel? And again, if you don't know, if you have not heard me say it, I'm going to say it again. The world, as we know it, every other human being that's outside of the will of the Most High is collateral damage. And how can I say that? Because we done already went through it. Go back in the archives, you'll hear the scriptures. Every other human being on the face of the planet that does not have a relationship or today, tomorrow, next year, planning on having one, a true relationship with Yah and his son, Yahweh, who we know as Yahushua that came down and gave his life, is collateral damage. Because the only thing that Hasatan is afraid of or that can defeat him and his Malachim is an Israelite that knows who he are, who he is, that understand the power that was given to him. Because obviously we are not ignorant of his devices. We understand what was given to us, and we are walking in that. Not saying that we're going to be perfect in that, but he know that we have no power on it. Satan himself has no power over us. Yahushua told his disciple, the Talmudim, oh, that's nothing, that you got power over them. To Yahushua, when the Talmudim came back rejoicing, and you got to see, you got to feel and see it yourself. That was nothing to him. It was like you knowing 1 + 1 = 2. You know, and somebody who just found out that that's 2, and you understand, man, what? That's the most simplest basic thing. That's simple. That's basic. That was basic to Yahushua, that Satan had no rule over him, that he had no rule over whoever he gave power to. That was a basic thing, a basic understanding to Yahushua, that he had none. But Yahushua said to them, as long as your name written in that Lamb's book of life, man, ain't no demonic thing, no unclean spirit, no fallen angel have no power over you. You got power over them. Even Hasatan himself, you have power over him. Yahushua understood that. The apostles come to understand that. Even when Brother Shaul come to understand the power that was put on him. Remember, there's a story in the book of Acts where Brother Shaul got bit by a snake. And those around him, you know, they sat back. I'm going to give you the scene. They sat back and looked at Brother Shaul. He didn't talk to all that Yahoo stuff. Let's watch him. He's about to be dead in a few seconds. Shaul knew that. He understood their heart. So the scripture said he shook it off, kept on working. And everybody's like, hold up. I don't remember when JoJo got bit by the snake. And, you know, he swelled up, everything. He felt convulsion. We saw this brother die within 10 minutes. It's been an hour. This brother Shaul's still working. It must be real. It must be real. You know what I'm saying? These are things that Yahushua, Yahweh, gave us. So it's a small thing. Anything in this world system cannot affect us as long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. As long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because we remember what we talked about last week. We are a blessed people. Even for those who don't know, we are a blessed people. A blessed people. But let's get into this before I get too far off track talking about this haze that's been over the country all week long about Kobe Bryant. And even here in my own household, you know, out in the various of my family talking about how that's so sad, and yes, it is sad, and how that he was too young to die, and he just started living, and he just finished his career. But Mook and Mike and all the other brothers too, JB, Raymond, all them brothers I grew up with, did over 25 years now. They died at least in their teens, some in the early 20s. But for a long time, they've been dead. A long time. But because this quote-unquote fame, this quote-unquote stardom, the world looks at you and sets you up on this pedestal. And none should be set up on a pedestal but Yahushua. That's it. Yah, the Father. That's it. But let's go to our opening scriptures, family. I'm going to stop ranting about that because that was on my mind heavy this week, especially after Brother Yaquiel brought it up. He just brought it to my attention. Like, hold on, you're right, Yaquiel. You're right. He wasn't a Yahweh. He didn't worship the Father. He didn't live a Torah life. He wasn't living a set-apart life. No. You do none of that. 2 Corinthians 4:1-4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yah deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yah. But and if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Mashiach, who is the image of Yah, should shine unto them. And that's where we've been going at ever since, the God of this world. Since this started, this beast system is no more than Hasatan ways. That's it. And how we have summed it up is an organized chaos. It's chaos, but it's organized. It's structured. Just like we read in the definition of social engineering, that's the same thing. This beast system is a whole bunch of commotion going on every different ways, but it's organized. This entity right here, who Brother Shaul in 2 Corinthians said that it was Satan, the devil, is him who's doing that. He is organizing everything. Yes, he has men as puppets, because that's all he is. They are puppets and have 99.9% of them don't know they're being used. don't know. They are deceived themselves. They have no clue of what's really going on. What's really going on. So what we talked about last week, so we want to stay on point. We want to keep this thing. I'm not going to finish all this today. I already know I'm not. But I'm going to get through as much as possible because we got some reading to deal with. As much as possible. And that's good. That's good because I will have something next time for us, but you will always have something for us. But he just has something for me to come back, or another brother may pick up the mantle. Who knows where Abba going to go, but we're going to go where he leads. But we was talking about how this people are so blessed, Israel. They have the name of Yah, and they have influence. But what Hasatan knew and understand, once we lost our place in Yahweh, but we still are blessed. And we brought that out last week. We may not know, as the people here in this Western Hemisphere, who we are, but that does not take away the influence that we have on this world. That does not take away that we still are a blessed people. We just don't know we're blessed. We just don't know it. So we was talking about this thing that had went worldwide. Elite culture didn't go worldwide. Nowhere near worldwide. But this culture has went worldwide. This hip-hop culture. Let's just get straight to it. This hip-hop culture that started way back. I got the definition right here. That started back in the Bronx. Way back. I remember the song hip-hop. Started out in the park. Way back. It just was a little group of people. And if you really want to see the evolution of hip-hop, go to Netflix and start at season one and look at the evolution of hip-hop. Look at where it started from and look at all the seasons and look where it's at today. I did have a song that I wanted to read from the most popular artist, I mean the most popular rap song that's out, or hip-hop song that's out, that I will not read because I couldn't finish it. Matter of fact, I had my 17-year-old to try to read half of it, and she said, "I feel funny reading it." I bet you did. The language, the vulgar language that this brother, and they play it on the radio, but they used to bleep out the whole part, but now they play it so well. Do you still understand what they're saying? The little 2-year-old baby that's in the car with daddy and mommy still know what he's saying. But again, it's this social engineering, it's this beast system that's taking the people away from the ways of the Creator, away or further down the rabbit hole. And that's further away from the truth, further away from the truth. So I wanted to read that, but I'm not going to read that. We have kids, we have elders, emus. No, I would have to be bleeping every other word. Every other word. And then the context of it, no. I would not denigrate or defile this elite culture by reading that. Matter of fact, it's about a little baby or the baby, whatever his name is, a baby. And that's the song. And another, but he ain't have the hottest song, or he's just the hottest rap out right now. And sometimes us as parents, we go, don't listen to it. Because listening to the music, we're going to miss it. But go read a song every now and then and watch how it blow your mind. Watch how it make you feel like, what I just watch a porno movie or something? Did I watch something that was just super, just X-rated? Not rated R, but super X-rated. And read, just read it. So last week I had to text all my kids and, well, what is the popular drug that's inside of hip hop? Because every song now today is talking about some type of drug. River Preludes, which they will call, I believe it's Percocets, Lean, which I believe is SARP, what we used to call SARP when we was coming up, which is nothing but cough medicine, and Sprite. This is what our kids are doing. Volumes, we used to call them real volumes, but they Vans, which is Xanax. And there's so many drugs that they talk about in every song. How can you destroy your people? Destroy their mind. Destroy their mind. And you got them. You got them. What was the definition? Behavior. You want to control how the people act. Use music. Use music. And House of Tongue learned that a long time ago. Use music. You want to control them? Use music first and foremost. You want to move them in a certain way? I began, as I got older, going to a funeral, and I didn't understand why you may not cry right off. But soon that person got up there and started singing that song. You boo-hooing. Snot bubbles everywhere. You just crying uncontrollably. But before that, you ain't cry. Until they got up there and sing that song, you letting loose. Because it touched something. It did something to your emotions. It did something to your emotions. That's that. Let's just go read about House of Time for a while. Then we're going to get back into it. But I doubt I finished this tonight, all this, but we want to see where it started at. So let's go to Yeshayahu 28:11-18. That's Ezekiel for those who don't know. 28, starting at verse 11. We're talking about the beast system and how it has affected Israel. We come to understand that Satan is the god of this world. He is the one that's orchestrating everything outside of Yahweh, outside of his laws, statutes, and judgments. He is orchestrating everything. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thou sayest Yahweh Elohim, Thou fillest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Yah. Every precious stone was thy covering, and sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. And gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now we know, for those who may not know, the king of Tyre was not in the Garden of Eden. When you go back and read the account of the Garden of Eden, there was only three there. And that was the serpent, who we come to find out that was Satan, Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa. So we know and understand that this is talking about Satan. And we know the king of Tyre, he didn't have stones built all in his chest. He didn't have pipes coming out of him. And what were these pipes? These pipes was music. So we come to find out that Satan was the one that led the angels in worship. He was that one in charge of the worship to Yah. He was the one in charge of naked music, heavenly music. Now let's stop right there. Let's see and understand the greatness of that. The greatness, I mean, especially if you ever sung for the Most High. If you ever poured out your heart and your mind and your soul to the Most High and you just was feeling it. And you just praising them and thanking them at the same time. And let me just put your mind there. Hashem was in his presence. Satan, Lucifer, was in his presence. He was the one in charge of singing, of making music. His body was an instrument. Pipes. His body was an instrument of music. Didn't let your mind sit on that, where he was. And then now we're going to read that, where he walked up and down on the coals. Where he walked up and on and down of the of what we would call a census, the incense. He walked up and down at the same time he making music. So he praising and making music at the same time to the Most High. At the same time. And matter of fact, what we would call here on earth, is especially in our congregation and other elite congregations around the world, is a cantor, which is a very, very important position, is to be a cantor, is to lead worship for your brothers and sisters. We have a cantor here at Bet Yahweh, our brother Harvel, because, you know, what a fitting name that Abba gave him, love. That's a love story. When you're singing and praising to the Most High, that's exchanging what we would call vows. When you say your vows and you got up there and you had to say your vows, that's exchanging vows one to another. That's exchanging when they say, did you write your own vows? Yeah. And you go ahead and you read your vows to your wife or you read your vows to your husband. That's what you're doing. You're exchanging vows with Abba. You're telling them how you feel. Why? Because he's not looking or trying to listen to how beautiful your voice is. What he's hearing is the sincerity, the realness of your voice. You can sound like Fred G. Sanford the Great. It does not matter to Abba. What he wants to hear is your sincerity. Do you mean that when you say that? Because again, remember, when you're exchanging the vows to him and you're telling him how you feel. How you feel, and that becomes a sweet savor to him, the scripture talks about. We praise. This was Hasatan leading the rest of the Melekim, the rest of the angels up to him. See, Alcantara, he leads us in worship. He is the one that's leading us, leading our prayers, leading our vows up to the Most High. This was Hasatan. This was him. The one that music, when Abba thought of music, oh, I'm going to make me an angel. You know what? I'll just angel. I'm going to make this angel music. He's going to be perfect. Let's read. I'm going to get my glass. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of Yah. Thou walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. He walked up and down the coals, the fire, the incense. This right here, he's inside of the tabernacle. And if you want to get a glimpse of where he was, go back and read the book of Enoch. I believe it's in chapter 16 or 17. And you read where Enoch was, because Enoch was in the tabernacle. And the glory of that, because that's who he was giving his praise to, Yahweh. But we're not going to get into that, because somebody that might can seriously confuse somebody if we say something and they don't understand it. But those who understand it, hallelujah. But that's where he was. If you ever want to get a picture of the heavenly tabernacle, go back and read 16 and 17 Enoch. Chapter 16 and chapter 17 Enoch. He just talked about that. This is where he was. As a matter of fact, I went over the anointed, the set apart sure that covereth. That covereth. What he covering? What is he covering? What is he leading? What is he doing? He covering. Think of a priest, right? When the people bring that offering, bring that sacrifice to a priest. Think of that when Yahweh gave us the Levitical priesthood. And the people had to give him this, and the priest had to pray over, and the priest had to offer it to the Most High. So he's offering the Avimelech king. I mean, let's just see the seriousness of Hashem's job. He's offering the Avimelech king prayers up to the Most High. That's what Elkanah do. Because he leads, that's why he's Elkanah. He leads us in worship. Our prayers and our worship, our vows. I'm not trying to put too much on you, Brother Harvell, because you do a blessed job. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. You have been chosen to do a great thing for Abba Yah, to cover Israel. We thank you here at Bet Yahweh for being Elkanah, for leading us. Because at times you feel when we down and you come out and you pump us up, you praise, get these spirits out of here. So we thank you. I will give you that vision, give you that understanding. And you see, and you goes off. So you have a very important job. I'm just thanking you for being that Elkanah for Bet Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But back, think of that priest. They got to go and take that offering, and then he got to present that to Abba. He's covering for us. That priest does. All the priests do that. Brother Yaquiel got to do that too. Because everybody sits under him. He is the spiritual leader. So everybody that sits under him, our lives is in his hands. Thank you for that too, Brother Yaquiel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it ain't easy. We know Israel. We are hard-headed and stiff-necked. We are hard-headed and stiff-necked people. But let me finish getting into this. I got a lot to read. But we're going to move as Abba moves. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Yeah. And I have set thee so. Because we won't get to it, but I, Yahweh, so Satan. Thou was upon the holy mountain of Yah. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. You were perfect. Perfect. You know when somebody says perfect, they mean perfect. When Yahweh said he made you perfect, he made this angel, Hashatan, perfect. And I hope you're listening to me. And I hope it's cutting you. Made you perfect. He gave you a job of jobs. The Avimelech. But you wanted more. You wanted more. You was not satisfied. Message. He was not satisfied with what Abba had given him. Thou was perfect in the ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. He was created. He was a created being. So we know and understand from that point right there, and I'm going to give y'all this in case somebody listening that may not know this was who created him, because the scriptures just say he was created. We read, Yahweh read this past Saturday about Yochanan 1:1. And was nothing in the beginning was Elohim. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. And all was created by him. Nothing. The world system was not created, that was created, was not created by him. So Yahushua, whom we call Yahushua, created Hasatan. He's the one brought. He is the one that Hasatan. I'm jumping ahead. Let me calm it down. Let me calm it down. I'm telling you, I get excited when I but show me something. Let me bring it back. Thou was perfect in thy way from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of Elohim, and I was destroyed. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Hallelujah. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast covered, corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee into the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they might behold thee. That they may behold thee. Hallelujah. He said, because of his beauty, he was lifted up. He got prideful. Message. He got prideful. Your wisdom, you have corrupted it. And the only wisdom that he had comes from Yahweh. But the wisdom that he has is 100 times greater than what we have. What was the next question? Let's move on to Yeshayahu 14:12-13. Scripture 12. So Yeshayahu, Isaiah 14:12, starting at verse 12 and 13. And we're still talking about our Hasatan, because remember the last scripture we just raised, that I'm going to cast you down to the ground. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of El. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. See, when he said he's going to... He's trying to sit right beside Yahushua. He's trying to sit beside Yahushua, Yahweh. That's where he's trying to tell me, hey, I'm just as bright as you. I'm just as bad as you. I'm prettier. I should be sitting beside you. Yahushua looked at him and laughed. He said, man, I created you. You ain't equal to me. No. See you later. And kicked them out of the kingdom. You go to, now we're going to read that later. But we should want to stay on point, because we know, understand that Hasatan is the one that brought music to man. He brought music to man. So let's go into the lost book of Eden. If you have it, if not, I'm going to read it anyway for you. We're in the lost book of Eden. And we in chapter 20 on page 76. No, this is not page 76. It's in the Forgotten Books of Eden. It's in Adam and Eve. The Children of Yahweh. This is the title of the Children of Yahweh are led astray. So we're close to the end of the book, if you have the book, if you want to read along. If not, I'm going to read it for you. After Cain had gone down to the land of the dark soil, and his children, as a matter of fact, let me give you the whole scene, the whole situation, the background of what's going on. If you have not read it, you may have never heard of it. So that right now, this is after the death of, I think, Methuselah. Also, this is after the death, around the same, so to speak, same time that Adam died. I believe Seth died. Cain and Abel surely died because Cain had killed them, and this is their offspring. So Cain's children went one way, and I believe Seth's children, because Seth, Yahweh have gave Adam Seth because he lost Abel. Now, Cain and Abel's children, these are, I'm not going to say they are the only people on the planet right now, because I'm not 100% sure about that, but I can find out. I will not say that something that is untrue. But we know what Cain did, and we know that Abba cursed him to have him to walk the earth as a vagabond, so they settled. But now we back a little bit further in the story. Seth's kid, that's keeping in line with Enoch. Enoch is in here too. Matter of fact, we're in the book of Enoch at the same time. And Seth's kid are in the righteous line, because you can go back through the lineage of Yahushua in the book of Yahu or Matthew, it's going to give you his lineage all the way down to Adam, mother and father side, I believe. And Seth's kids, they're the righteous. They lived up on the mountain where Abba had them to live, where Yahweh had them to live. And Cain's kids lived at the bottom of the mountain, and they always trying to intermingle with Seth's kids. But Abba told them to don't go down, stay up here where you're closer to my presence, where you'll be in my presence. But if you looked at Cain's kids, they would be considered worldly kids. They would be considered, if we believers and the world is always trying to pull us to them. That's the whole scene right there in a nutshell. That's the best I can do it. If you want, you can go back and you can start in the forgotten books of Adam and just start at chapter 1 and you'll get there. But we here in chapter 20. After Cain had gone down to the land of the dark soil and his children had multiplied, therein there was one of them whose name was Genon. Genon. And now listen to this, family. But as to this Genon, Satan came into him in his childhood. In his childhood. So when we see these names, kids acting in their way, trust and believe that Satan starts early. He started with this young man early. This scripture says in his childhood. And he made him sundry trumpets and horns and string instruments, cymbals and psaltery, and lyres and harp and flutes, and he played on them at the time. Excuse me, man. At the time and at every hour. And when he played on them, Satan came into them, so that from among them were. Listen to that. Let's listen to me. Let's listen to this very closely. And when he played on them, Satan came into them, so that from among them were heard beautiful and sweet sound that ravished the heart, the mind. Now we do know, we're talking about one of the greatest weapons that Satan used. I do know and heard from sources that when rock albums, when they started, because at one time rock was the biggest on the planet, how they did, they would take the master into a room and they would pray to a demon so a demon can bless it. Guaranteed they doing the exact same thing with rap albums. Guaranteed. The exact same thing. We talking about the people that's high up. They will take it into a dark room and pray to, and the presence will come. Pray to a demon so he can bless this record. Now keep that in mind too as we go through this. Then he gathered company upon company to play on them, and when they played it, pleased well the children of Cain, who inflamed themselves with sin among themselves and burnt as with fire, while Satan inflamed their hearts one with another and increased lust among them. Also, listen to it and then bring it up till today. Bring it up till today. Satan also taught Denim to bring strong drink out of corn, and this Denim used to bring together companies upon companies and drink houses. They had bars back in the day. And this is way back in the day, too. They started bars with some corn liquor. Ain't that something? And brought into their hands all manner of fruits and flowers, and they drink together. Thus did this dinner multiply sin exceedingly. He also acted with pride and taught the children of Cain to commit all manner of grotesque wickedness, which they knew not, and put them up to manifold doings, which they knew not before. Then Satan, when he saw that they yielded together and hearkened to him in everything, he told them, rejoice greatly, increase Jenna's understanding, until he took iron and with it made weapons of war. Then, when they were drunk, hatred and murder increased among them. One man used violence against another to teach him evil talking, taking his children and defiling them before him. And when men slew, they saw they were overcome, and saw others that were not overpowered. Those who were beaten came together, took refuge with him, and he made them his confederates. Then sin increased among them greatly, until a man married his own sister or daughter or mother and others, or the daughter of his father, sister, so that there were no more distinction of relationship. And they no longer knew that it was iniquity, but did wickedly, and the earth was defiled with sin. And they did so bad. They was marrying one another, but it became the norm. Again, bring it up today. He said they no longer understood it, that they were sinning against Yahweh. And look at the multitude of things out there today. Remember, this was before the flood. This was before the flood. And they angered Yah, the judge who had created them. But Gena gathered together companies upon companies that played on horns and on all other instruments we have already mentioned at the foot of the holy mountain. And they did so in order that the children of Seth, who were on the holy mountain, set apart mountain, should hear. But when the children of Seth heard the noise, they wandered and came by company and stood on top of the mountain to look at those below. And they did thus a whole year. They caught their attention. I mean, these brothers, they heard this music, they understood. They sitting in the holy place up on top of the mountain. They watching what's going on down there for a whole year. So what does that message tell us? What does that tell us? Satan is long-winded on working on his plan. If he got to go a whole year to make you fall, or if he got to go 16, 17, 18 years to make you fall, he is long-winded. He is patient for that, because he knows the scripture. scripture says that he have a short time, but you know his short time is longer than what we have. He knows that. So he's long-winded to come to get us to fall. He works on a plan. And these brothers look down there for a whole year. I gotta find my place where I was. Family. I'm gonna start at 12. I just remember. But when the children of Seth heard the noise, they wandered and came by companies and stood on the top of the mountain to look at those below. And they did thus a whole year. When at the end of that year, Gideon saw that they were being won over to him little by little, Satan entered into him and taught him to make dyeing stuff for garments, for divers, patterns, and made him understand how to dye crimson and purple and whatnot. And the sons of Cain, who wrought all these and shone in beauty and gorgeous apparel, gathered together at the foot of the mountain in splendor with the horns and gorgeous dresses. So picture the scene, family. They down there, they got music, they dressed up, they fly, and they drinking on top of that. We do that. We as a people, we ain't going out, we're looking sharp. We going to go out, we going to look sharp, and we going to get something to taste. We going to get something to taste. Then y'all picture the whole thing. In splendor, with horns and gorgeous dresses and horse races, committing all manner of abominations. They raising horses. Meanwhile, the children of Seth, who were on the holy mountain, prayed and praised Elohim in the place of the host of angels who had fallen. And that's powerful right there. That's powerful. Let me read that again. Played and praised Yah in the place of the host of the angel who had fallen. Wherefore Yah had called them angels because he rejoiced over them greatly. But after this, they no longer kept his commandment, nor by the promise he had made to their fathers. But they relaxed from their fasting and praying, and from the counsel of Yared, their father, and they kept on gathering together on the top of the mountain to look upon the children of Cain from morning unto evening, and upon what they did upon their beautiful dresses and ornaments. Then the children of Cain looked up from below and saw the children of Seth standing in troops on the top of the mountain. And they called to them, "Come down to them." But the children of Seth said to them from above, "We don't know the way." Then Gena, the son of Lamech, heard them say that they not know the way. And he bethought himself how to might bring them down. Then Satan appeared to him by night, saying, "There is no way for them to come down from the mountain on which they dwell. But when they come tomorrow, say to them, 'Come ye to the west side of the mountain. There you will find the way of a stream of water that comes down to the foot of the mountain between the two hills. Come down that way to us.' Then when it was day, Gena blew the horns and beat the drums below the mountain. And he was what? The children of Seth heard it and came as they used to. Then Gena said to them from down below, 'Go to the west side, the western side of the mountain. There you will find the way to come down.' But when the children of Seth heard these words from him, they went back into the cave to Jared to tell him all that they had heard. Then when Jared heard it, he was grieved, for he knew that they were transgressing his counsel. After this, 100 men of the children of Seth gathered together and said among themselves, "Come, let us go down to the children of Cain and see what they do and enjoy ourselves with them." But when Jared heard this of the 100 men, his very soul was moved and his heart was grieved. He then arose with great favor and stood in the midst of them and adjured them by the blood of Abel, the just. Let not one of you go down from the holy and pure mountain in which our fathers have ordered us to dwell. But when Jared saw that they did not receive his words, he said unto them, "O my good and innocent and holy children, know that when once you go down from the holy mountain, Yah will not allow you to return again to it." And again adjure them, saying, "I adjure by the death of our father Adam, and by the blood of Abel, of Seth, and Enos, of Canaan, and of Methuselah, to hearken to me, and not to go down from the holy mountain. For the moment you leave it, you will be rid of life and mercy and of mercy, and you shall no longer be called children of Yah, but children of the devil." But they would not hearken to his word. Enoch at that time was already grown up. Amen. And in his zeal for Yah, he arose and said, "Hear me, O you sons of Seth, small and great, when you transgress the commandment of your fathers and you go down from this holy mountain, ye shall not come up hither again forever." But they rose up against Enoch and would not hearken to his words, but went down from the holy mountain. And when they looked at the daughters of Cain, at their beauty, beautiful figures, and at their hands and feet, dyed with color and tattoos and ornaments on their faces, the fire of sin was kindled in them. Then Satan made them look most beautiful before the sons of Seth, and he also made the sons of Seth appear to be fair in the eyes of the daughters of Cain, so that the daughters of Cain lusted after the sons of Seth like ravenous beasts, and the sons of Seth after the daughters of Cain, until they committed abominations with them. But after they had thus fallen into defilement, they returned by the way that they had come and tried to ascend the holy mountain, but they could not, because the stones of the mountain were a fire flashing before them, and by reason of which they could not go up again. And Yah was angry with them and repented of them because they had come down from glory and had thereby lost or forsaken their own purity or innocence and were falling into defilement of sin. Then Yah sent his word to Jared, saying, "These they thy children, whom thou didst call my children, behold, they have transgressed my commandment and had gone down to the abode of perdition and of sin. And send a messenger to those that are left, that they may not go down and be lost." Then Jared wept before Yahweh and asked of him mercy and forgiveness. But he wished that his soul might depart from his body rather than hear these words from Yah about the going down of the children from the holy mountain. But he followed Yah's order and preached unto them not to go down from the holy mountain and not to hold intercourse with the children of Canaan. But they heed not his message and would not obey his voice. Amen. And that's the end of that. You can continue that because the story goes on, and very good story. But we wanted to see where it started at. Thousands of years ago, way before the flood, how Hasatan motivated this one man and gave him the knowledge of music. And it started something. It even brought the holy children that was up on the mountain, those that were set apart, brought them down. Whereas though they was curious. The curiosity got the best of them. And even if you heard in the end part that when Seth said it, they still didn't listen. They understood. And we always say, if I was back then, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. But human nature is human nature. They saw that their brothers went down there and could not come back up. But because of that party, because of the bars, the women with the beautiful figures, the faces done up, the hair, the nails done, they looking good. They had the sundresses on, flowing. You know how our brothers love the women in the sundresses. That's just being honest. Any brother tell you, the best thing looking thing in the world is a black woman in a sundress. So they had these beautiful sundresses on, down there drinking, music, and all we thought, they down there having a party. They partying down here, and I'm stuck up here. I'm stuck up here in this boring life, just serving the Most High. And they over there party. And that's why I believe where people, the world get the idea, like you're going to be partying down here in hell. No, 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 no. It's going to be party. Where the evil is where the party at. That's true. That's true from what we just read. Because these brothers and sisters, they was in holiness. But they saw what happened to the other brothers, and they did not care. They did not care. They still wanted to go down. Still wanted to go down there. Regardless. But what did the scripture say? And Satan knew that. So he made the women even more beautiful than them. He made the men. And I read up in, I believe, in a couple chapters before that, where Satan changed himself into some good angels. You know, I believe, like, well, that's where Brother Shaul got it from. Because he came in there and he tried to get Yared to go out of the mountain or down the mountain, and he changed himself into some real, him and his host of angels, the fallen ones, they had, the scriptures said they had beards, nice, thick, full beards. So you know these, he changed himself into some big, nice, handsome-looking brothers. And he tried to trick the man coming down the mountain. As a matter of fact, he almost got him all the way down there until Abba intervened. But good read. Good read. And even like how we in the same book of Enoch that he was even mentioned in the book of Enoch. He was mentioned in that. I did have the secret meeting about rats. And I'm not going to read that because that's entirely too long tonight. But I'm going to close it because there's so much more and I don't want to give half a lesson. Because I'm not going to be able to get to all that. I'm not. I should have just went straight into the lesson, but I allow Albert to talk. We had to talk about this Kobe thing. We had to talk about it. So we're going to end up in the book of Revelations 12:7-12. And it's still on the line of what we've been talking about. We've been talking about this beast system. He's talking about how he has fallen from grace and how he has been the one from day one of sin to now, manipulating man. He has been the one constant enemy of man. the one constant is not flesh and blood, but it's him. He's been that one constant enemy to mankind from day one. We have scriptures have proven that over and over again. These system hostile period, Satan. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon was wroth in his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of Almighty One, and the power of his Mashiach. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in the heaven. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that he had but a short time. We talked about that a little earlier, that his time may be short, but it's thousands of years longer than any human being. Any human being. So when it comes time for him to plan against us, he may know that he have a short time in the heaven, in the scheme of things, or in the plan of salvation. Because, you know, once the plan of salvation has been completed, there's no more need for him. No more need for him. Abba does not need him anymore. He does not need his presence anymore. Matter of fact, his presence will be no longer needed, period. And then, well, how you can say Satan is needed in this world system? Because mankind needs to understand good and evil. So he allowed the evil. He said, I created the good and the evil. He allowed the evil to prevail at times within his body. So mankind can make a choice. Even when we just read in the book of Eden, where we read where it says that these children were the children of El, because he used them to replace the angels that he lost. What happened? They didn't even abide in the abode that he gave them. They left. They went down. They got drawn down. Drawn down to the parties, to the bar, to the women, and even in the women's bar, because it said that Satan made the men look extra handsome to them. You know how the men can put on that cologne and we can shape everything up, make everything look good, and the women fall prey to men just as well as men fall prey to women. And the scripture said he made the men look better to the women, and that they was ravishing one another. And both of them was deceived. Both of them. But that is my six-week journey that Abba had me on. I want to thank those who was a part of it. I want to thank Abba Yah for giving me this. And waiting on the next one. Still wondering which way should I go, because I had two thoughts, but prayerfully at the end of Yariel's, because he's up next. His 6-week course that Abba has chosen, which way we're going to go. I did have two, And I did have a thought that was earlier in the evening, though, because it was confirmation, because we mentioned Enoch. We mentioned Enoch. And we're meditating on that this week. And we started off in the book of Enoch. And for those who are reading, those in that Yahweh or have been listening to the congregation via blog talk, is that it starts off in the book of Enoch that this is a book for the end time. And if we've been following the pattern that Abba has had us on for the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, that every book we got in, we was on point. Whether it was Pesach or wherever it was, whatever it was, that when we was in this book, we was on point with it in this world system at the same time. Wherever it was, and Brother Yaquiel set up some grand scheme, and he would line things up like that. No, he was just led by the Ruach. And every book we started has lined up, either with the holy days or with wherever we was in this world system. For some odd reason, so the thought that Abba was giving me, well, where are we at with this book, Abba? Where are we at? So it made me start reading again, starting over to comb through, because I know Abba is leading us. And I know we ain't here for no reason, because he was on point with everything else. And this book starts off, this is for the generation of the end time. The end time. So this was food for thought for me, and I thought I would share that. I know y'all don't just take my word. Everybody else who have been following see it for themselves, that we have been on point with every book that Abba has been leading, and something major, whatever it was, something major, we was right on point with the book, right on point. We thank the family again for joining in, and pray for your food for thought to have you say, that's true. Close out with the closing prayer, the closing blessing, and thank you, Abba Yah, for allowing me to be used for your word and for your way. Let me get my glasses again. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctified the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisra'el with Shalom. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Father Yah, once again, for your word, for coming in and supping with us, Father, for putting us on this journey, for guiding us, Father, so we will not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Father, may that your moray that have to teach tomorrow, I believe Brother Yaquiel got a double portion tomorrow, because he have to teach the morning and he have to teach the afternoon. May you put your word in him. May you bring forth your word through him, Father. May he move out the way and you come through, Father. May the listener, Father, be as fertile ground, receiving the word that you gave and go forth through your prophet, Father. Father, I ask for all Yisrael to be blessed, Father. All Yisrael to be strong in your Ruach, Father. But where they are weak, Father, you help them, Father. Where they are slipping to the left and to the right, Father, that you bring them back, Father. Where life has overwhelmed them, Father, you just give them the reassurance that you are there. Reassurance, Father. Sometimes we need reassurance. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael.
The Almighty Yah for the opportunity to perform for you today. I want to thank Robin Applewood, Dogman Joe. Give it up. Give it up for the Sheba Warriors band. This is Queen Makeda coming to you from Zion, Jerusalem, Israel. Visit us online, queenmakeda.com. Check us out over here. I'll be signing for you. Bless and love. Thanks to all my fans who came out. I love you. We love you so much. Shalom.